This episode of Nobody's Listening Podcast is brought to you by DrawYouAPicture.com, where you can get just about anything drawn by me for pretty darn cheap. Check it out today at DrawYouAPicture.com. Also by Bluehost Hosting. Unlimited space, unlimited hosting, unlimited bandwidth. Check it out, nlcast.com/Bluehost. Also by GoToMeeting. Today's episode is dedicated to Anna Silva, Tamara Stelick, Shanul Sherera, and Drew Covert and the West Side of Mars Podcast, a clean comedy show by Drew. Check it out today at westsideofmars.com and the Lotto Tube, a free lottery where people pick three numbers between 1 and 50. Subscribe to the Lotto Tube at www.youtube.com/thelottotube. It's the only free lottery in the world.
I got a bad feeling about this.
No.
Listening to Nobody's Listening, where we tell funny life stories and invite you to do the same.
Hey, how you doing, podcast people? This is Nobody's Listening Podcast, the show where we tell funny life stories, yours and ours. It's episode 193, brought to you the week of May 1st, 2012. It's May Day, May Day, May Day. I'm your host again. My name is James, and with me is K. Michael Prince. How you doing, K. Michael?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
You sound awesome, man. I love you. Love
well,
you.
Thanks.
Love you. Good like to be here. I love you like a love song, baby. I do.
Nice.
And a special guest host in the third chair tonight from the West Side of Mars podcast. It's Drew Covert, everybody. Give him a hand.
Ooh, yeah.
He's not nervous at all, are you, buddy? Nah. Yeah, so
I'm just
welcome.
Tired, that's it.
Tired? Is it past your bedtime, my friend?
No. Just excuse all my bad jokes because there will be a lot.
Oh, good Lord. Like bad, like cuss word bad or bad, like third grader bad?
Bad, like you want to like turn me off because the jokes are so unfunny.
Oh, so like one of these.
Yeah, hold on to that button.
Okay.
Nice.
I will. So anyway, we're going to start right into it with a little weekly update action.
Weekly.
You shut your mouth.
Okay, we can do the update.
All right, weekly update. If you're new to the show, it's where we take something from the last 7 days or so, and we try to make it funny. And you know, most of the time, it is by default. So I'll get the chair rolling. Speaking of chairs rolling, I have a buddy that I work with, and his chair doesn't have wheels on the bottom. And I wonder how he stays sane. This is not my weekly update. It's just something random I thought of. He had it out in the hallway today, and not only did I notice that it doesn't have any wheels. At first, I thought it was the kind of chair that wasn't supposed to have wheels, and I'm thinking they still make those. Wow! But I also noticed, first of all, that it was the kind that was supposed to have wheels. All six are gone. So this has been a thing that has happened over the course of time, right? And then second, I noticed that there was still a couple of the spikes that go down into the chair. I mean, into the wheels sticking out. So not only does the chair not have wheels, there's a couple of them that are up. I mean, like his all six legs of his chair, you know, the little star shape, don't sit down all together flat. I don't know how he does it. I don't know, you know.
No way.
I'd go crazy. All right, now for something truly funny. Okay, this isn't funny either. It's pretty bad. I'll get the button ready. My daughter, 7 years old, weird mind, thinks about things way too much. We got new furniture, and so this word furniture was new to her. Not really. I mean, maybe she's heard it, but when do you talk about the furniture? You know, stay off the furniture. Now you say, you're like, get off the couch, quit jumping on the couch. So she, furniture, weird word for a 7-year-old, and she starts singing about it, and I hear her over there saying, furniture, furniture. And she comes up to me like she's thought of something amazing. She just says, okay, it's got fur, and she starts, you know, rubbing her hand over the upholstery. It's got fur, and it's a chur. And it took me a minute until I realized she was mimicking a redneck accent, you know. So either that's the dumbest joke in the world, or my daughter's a genius, because I laughed a lot. Fur, and it's a chur. So
yeah, for her to put
is
that
this show
together,
sponsored by chairs or something.
It is sponsored by that's two chairs with an update. That's right,
sponsored by chairs. Yeah.
Okay, I got one more. I actually have four. I have five, but it's okay.
Because I probably don't have one.
I was at Chick-fil-A, and we were eating, and it was me and my boss and his wife and then my son, and we were just sitting there, and they had kind of just surprised us and joined us there. Well, all of a sudden, somebody they knew comes up, and that's always a little awkward. I introduced myself to this person. She was, you could just tell she was a 20-something. She started talking about how her she had an opportunity to go to school late in life. You know, she was going to go ahead and start and become a lawyer. And somebody says, you know, what? One of them said, what are you going to school for? You know, I want to be a lawyer. What's your dream job? She says, well, or what do you want to do? And she says, do you want my dream job or do you want my what I know I can get? And and they said, well, what about both? And she says, okay, my dream job is I would love to do international law. She says, I really want to help, you know, with this human trafficking issue, you know, and all this stuff. And she just goes into that. That's her passion, you know, and it's awesome. And I was like, wow, cool. And then she says, now my practical job, if I can't do that, I want to do business law. And I actually know that if I do, I can get a job at right here, because we were at Chick-fil-A. She's like, at Chick-fil-A headquarters. And you know, nothing funny about that until the thought hit me and I said it out loud.
I'm already laughing.
I said it out loud before I could think of it. I was like, so if you can't do human trafficking, you're going to get into chicken trafficking. Yeah. Yeah. So there it is.
Yes.
We're here all night, folks. Yes. So chicken.
For sure.
Chicken. Yeah. Chicken trafficking for sure.
For sure.
I hate Chick-fil-A because whenever I'm really, really craving it, it's always on a Sunday. It's annoying.
It is. It's the holiest of foods, and it's not available. That's why I wish Chick-fil-A would be agnostic for about 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Great. Like, they just have a crisis of faith as a business model.
And also, I would never want to work there because you know how, like, whenever you say thank you, they're the people are forced to say my pleasure.
Yeah, I've talked about that. I feel guilty when I say thank you because now I feel like I'm manipulating you, you know.
I just want to say, what, did you eat my food or something?
Yeah.
You know, why did you get pleasure from serving me?
I wonder if, like, somebody got fired because, like, they would say my pleasure in a very cynical way and just be like...
Oh, that reminds me of our new movement at our church. We have some greeters and stuff, and they're called Suncoast Cares. And and I always read it very sarcastically. And they have these badges that say I care, like iPod, you know. And and when I read it, I can't help it. I'm just like, you know who cares? Suncoast Cares. I care. I care. Hey, you need somebody to care? I care. Yeah, like I care. You know, that kind of thing. So, I don't know. They're not actually, you know, I'm not their target market, so... They don't care what I think.
Right. Yeah. They don't care.
Yeah. But yeah, just,
I care.
Just know that Chick-fil-A is into chicken trafficking. I mean, quite literally, they're using these chickens for their own needs and stuff.
Stealing them from their parents.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Raising them up just specifically for one purpose.
Yeah, I actually went to the bathroom at a Chick-fil-A.
And so did I. Holy crap.
And there was a bunch of chickens everywhere. It was scary, and I closed it. And then, like, this boss walked up to me and said, you're not allowed to know that. And then I woke up at a chair. And
wow.
In a chair?
I just had to incorporate it into a chair, so.
There it is.
Actually, that's not too bad, so I agree. Okay, one more, since, you know, we didn't do an opening song. My son, I read him a book, about boys and girls. Okay. Not anything drastically revealing or anything, but it was for, you know, 3 to 5 year olds. And it's about the differences in your bodies and mostly focused on parts of you to keep private. And it educates the kids so that if somebody tries something stupid, they'll know to say no, you know, that kind of stuff. I think it's important. And, so I was quizzing him afterwards. I said, Jay, you know, because I've worked in kids ministry for years, and I know how little boys are in the bathroom, and they'll just start a conversation about their privacies, okay? And so I asked him, I'm like, what if somebody wants to show you their privates? What do you say? And he says, and he kind of stops, and I'm like, if somebody wants to show you their privates or they want to see yours, what do you say? And he goes, please? So yeah, different lesson. He thought I was trying to make him be polite. So yeah,
please.
I told
Thank
him.
You.
How about no thanks? You know, how about that?
No, thank you.
Oh, goodness.
My pleasure.
Narthex! Yeah, you get a Narthex for that one. Good deal.
Nicely done.
Just don't let your dad listen to the show. All right, Drew, since you're on the hot seat, what do you got? What's your weekly update?
This is the first thing that comes to my head because you know how like it's pretty easy to make blonde jokes?
Okay.
Okay, well, there's this one girl at my school. She's blonde. It's very easy to make blonde jokes about her because she actually makes them for us.
Oh.
She just says the stupidest things, like questions that are like completely serious.
Yeah.
And they're just hilarious. One of my favorite ones was she asked, what color is money? Out loud in class in front of everyone. And we all laughed. But the funny thing is, if you ever bring it up to somebody in front of her, she'll just sit there and try to explain herself and like will make no sense. And that's like half of the, that's like the half part, funny. Right? Yeah. But this one thing that she did the other day, and I'm not going to say her name because I'd probably get slapped tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because she obviously listens to the show. Everyone does.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
All the cool kids.
Well, even if she doesn't, if you've listened to the show any amount of time, the one time you talk about somebody, even if you haven't seen them for 20 years, they will listen to that show and call you the next week. So, yes, safe.
Actually, if you're referring to the clown letdown, I think John needed that as a therapy for him to, you know.
He did.
Because he was like, yeah, seriously. But have you ever heard of the game Five Finger Filet?
No. I've been out of school for a long time.
Okay, well, basically what you do is you put your hand on a table and you spread out your fingers all the way.
Uh-huh.
And you get like a scissor or something and you try to like...
Oh, that's hand. Like, yeah, that's hand dance. That's, yeah.
I call it Five Finger Filet because that's what they called it in a video game.
Okay, cool.
So, me and her were doing that, and I was scared on her behalf because knowing her, she'll probably like chop off a finger or something.
Yeah.
And but then she looks at me and says, you know what else something would be really cool? And she takes her water bottle. And keep in mind, we're sitting on these like four people desks, so they're basically like single person desks, only they're all like crammed together in like a four person square.
Okay. Yeah. Like kindergarten.
And the person right next to her was like doing geometry work or whatever because it's freshman focused. No one takes that class literal. And so she takes off the water bottle lid and she says, I'm going to pass it back and forth in my hands. And I said, don't do it. Actually, that's a lie because I was actually trying to get her to do it because I didn't think she'd do it. And if she did, it'd just be hilarious. So it'd be worth it. But I never thought that she would actually do it to the extreme that she did. Not only did she do it once, which is what she said she did, she actually passed it back. And in that single motion where she passed it back, half of the water out of the bottle falls and lands right all over the person that was doing work next to her, all over her stuff. Ugh. Her textbook was ruined. Her work was ruined. Like, her pants were, like, sogged. And like, she felt bad, but I was laughing hysterically. So I guess that means I'm a bad person.
No. I you just coined a new phrase, too, whether you realize or not. I'm going to be like, next time I tell somebody off, I'm just like, you just got sogged.
You just got sogged.
It's like that girl's pants.
I'm sogged.
This story, let me find out now. She had a water bottle. She opened up the lid, and she's passing the water bottle back and forth between her hands. While you're trying to stab her with a pair of scissors.
No.
I'm trying to figure out where that part fit in.
That would be epic. That would be epic. But that's how she got the idea of doing something risky.
Oh, wow. And that's the most risky thing she could think of is putting some kid doing geometry at risk. Gotcha.
Yeah. Whoa. I'm sorry. Did you guys hear that? If not, that didn't happen. I also have two more funny things that she said if you want to hear them.
Oh, I love this girl. Go ahead.
Okay. First thing that she did said on like the first day of the semester, which was like the first time I actually got to know her. She asked out loud from the entire class, do dogs have noses?
Maybe she's trying to be a stand-up comedian. Have you ever thought of that? Yeah,
she needs to work harder.
Do dogs have noses? I don't know.
How about that airline food?
Hey, do dogs have noses? Yeah, I don't know. All right, what's her last thing? Saving the best for
last.
Let me
try to incorporate it with a chair. Hold on. I can't. So I was sitting on another desk.
Do chairs have noses? There you go.
Yes. So I was sitting on another desk, you know, doing whatever. Because with that class, no one takes it seriously. You just go and sit wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I could also tell a bunch of stories about that teacher, but...
This class? Seriously? Hey! Okay, sorry.
All right. You're going to have to get me on again because I want to share a couple stories about the teacher himself. But so I was sitting there doing my work, and this other person who also finds it hilarious whenever this person says stupid stuff calls me over, and she says, "You'll never believe what so-and-so just said." And I said, "What?" Because you got to expect the dumbest stuff when it comes to her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's blonde and she's her. But what she told me, and the person that said it even said, "Yeah, it's true." She asked her, "Does April have 32 states?"
Wow.
There's two dumb things in that.
Instead of days, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
And 32.
It's
good.
It's awesome. Yeah. I had a joke, too, and I can't remember what it was now. I mean, it doesn't work anymore. I was just going to, you know, do chairs have noses? No, but they are.
Does April have 32 chairs?
No, April does. Michael, what do you got, bro?
Well, I actually had something happen to me that made me think of your stories that you tell. I was at a theme park. You know, out here we have Silver Dollar City.
Yeah.
And I know. We went out there. Yeah, we do. Look it up. Google it.
It's awesome.
I don't believe you.
It's pretty great for a little, you know, hometown theme park.
We got Carowinds. What?
The what?
We got Carowinds.
I see. I never heard of that. So anyway, we went out there, took the family out there on a staycation. That's what poor people do for vacation. And so we went out to Silver Dollar City, and my kids, all of a sudden, they've been scared their whole lives of all the rides. But all of a sudden, this trip, they wanted to ride everything. So cool. It was awesome. I got to actually like take them on the rides and enjoy that with them and, you know, hold them down with my arm because the bar doesn't. It goes on my fat belly, so it doesn't secure them, you know. And so, but we got on the big carnival swings that, you know, the swings that are attached to the chain, and it tilts a little bit and then just spins you around up really high in the air. My daughter wanted to ride that. My son didn't want to, but Olivia did. So I got on there with her, and at the beginning of the thing, there's this stupid little kid, probably 7, 8 years old, maybe even older than that. I'm bad at that. But anyway, he's sitting over there and he's like talking trash, you know, 8-year-old trash to the ride attendant, you know, "What are you going to do if I do that?" What, as he's telling the rules, you know, to the ride. "Keep your arms in, don't wiggle, don't this."
What a butt.
Stuff to keep everyone safe, you know, and he's like, "What are you going to do if I do that? What are you going to do?" You know. And
what a troll.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid's an idiot already, right? But
you mad?
So we're going. We get way up in the air. It's great. We're having a great time. My daughter's loving it. I'm actually starting to feel a little queasy. She handled it better than I did. And we're going around in circles and all this stuff. And this kid's over here, and he's no joke. He's doing – while this ride's going, he's doing that thing that you do on the swings in the playground where you spin yourself around and then let it spin you back. He's doing that crap while we're going – we're 40 feet in the air, you know, going around in a circle, and he's doing this stuff. And the guy, you can hear the guy on the comm while the ride is going, "Please sit back in your chair. Please stop doing that. Please stop." And then we're not in the air 30 seconds, and we start to come back down.
Oh.
And we had sat there waiting for them to start the ride for probably 10 minutes because it's just so – that ride's so hard to get everybody strapped in and everything when it's full because there's so many chairs. So we sat there 10 minutes, and this kid – and then they made us all get off and go get back in line if you wanted to ride again, which we did not.
I'd slap that kid.
And I couldn't find the kid. I was ready to say something. I was going to tell him, "Stop your hoe crap," but I couldn't find him. And, you know, but I couldn't find him. But, man, it was just one of those things that you talk about when you're talking about going to Disney World.
LBBs, like, man. They're everywhere.
Why does one idiot have to – idiot little kid. And the real LBB here is that kid's parents, because they were nowhere in sight.
Preach
they were like, "Hey, go have fun in the stupid theme park and go tick everybody off. We don't care what you do. We'll be over here watching, you know – this bluegrass band, you know, that's what they do there.
We'll be over here in the cigarette corner. And
we'll be over here smoking doobies I don't know. Probably not Goobie. Goobies.
Listening to gospel music and eating corn fritters. Yeah.
Corn fritters. It was super annoying.
Okay, so and, may I share a story about where I'd stopping?
Nice.
Well, let's move on. Let's keep going. We got to mention the chat room. Hey, chat room folks, thank you for being with us. There is about 19 of you guys in there, and I appreciate every one of you. Captain Narthex, Cozy, and Darth, and Doxin, and Dr. Quest, and Enigma, and Fluffy, and J-Man, and Mr. Jalapeno Pants, and Norwegian Girl, and Sarah Nutt, and a whole bunch of other folks. Thank you so much, Mr. Walsh, for joining us. You can join us every Monday night. I'm sorry, Tuesday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. And while you're over there, go to NLcast.com and sponsor a show at podcast.nlcast.com. For only $5, we'll mention your name, and we'll dedicate the show to you. And you'll be helping us out. And I won't have to take money from my family to support your podcasting needs, okay? That would be awesome. Speaking of needs, this episode is also brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. With colleagues working from home or traveling in business, getting everyone together for a meeting can be an impossible task. But I've got a solution, thanks to Citrix. It's called GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Your team can meet face-to-face while online, no matter where they are, and it takes only seconds because it's so easy. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. Sounds awesome, right? Now you can even participate on the go using the built-in camera on your iPad. Just download the free GoToMeeting app to join. And make sure you flip that camera so people aren't looking at your lap. I love GoToMeeting. Every time I've used it, I've been impressed. And with HD Faces, gets better and better every time. Unless the person I'm talking to is a major dog. Start hosting your meetings face-to-face online today with GoToMeeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Yep, that's even you. Don't wait. This special offer is only at GoToMeeting.com. Click on Try It Free. Use the promo code PODCAST. Let me say that again. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on Try It Free, and use the promo code PODCAST. Make sure you use that promo code. Thank you, Citrix, for your continued support of Nobody's Listening. And, yeah, that'd be awesome. Hey, check out the iPhone and Android apps, NLcast.com. Check them out, weekly bonus content and more. And now it's time for a little bit of this.
ENV mail.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time for some voicemails and emails. Actually, just emails. How about that? J-Hall. J-Hall, I think, is in the chat room, right? I got a teacher. J-Hall. Speaking of teachers, this will make you happy, Drew. I had a teacher that was recently fired because he burned a kid for the third time. So here's the first lesson for everyone. You can
sounds like seventh grade.
In J-Hall's town, state, city, municipality, you can burn a kid twice before you get fired. So
I'm gonna go live there.
Hold on to that. And anyway, we were doing an experiment in chemistry that had to do with the color of a flame and the chemical it burned. I'm sure I really needed to tell you that. And the kid who I will refer to as Rectum Face, hey, probably that same kid that you had to deal with there. Yep. He was jacking around with the Bunsen burners. Yeah. What do you do if I do this?
Yeah.
So my teacher jokingly threatened to burn him. Hey, if you keep doing that, I'm going to
burn you,
light you on fire. I'll do it.
It's like the book of Chow called it. This is not funny.
Well, Rectum Face did.
This is abusive.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a little bit funny. And Rectum Face did what he does best and rebelliously spewed verbal crap. So the teacher started to get angry. He grabbed a lighter. He flipped it on. Rectum Face started yelling about how he would sue if she burned him. Oh, this is a lady. Awesome. And then continued to spew. So to all our dismays, the teacher jabbed him. Oh my gosh, jabbed him with the hot end of the lighter. After admin was notified, she was immediately suspended. 2 weeks later, fired. She was never sued because the parents of Rectum Face were on the side of the teacher.
Yeah. Awesome parents.
Yay! And the first two times my teacher was suspended was because of angrily pouring sulfuric acid on a kid's arm. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I do not condone any kind of abuse toward children, but, you know, I do have a small theory in my head, an idea that adults should be able to slap one child a year. And we should be able to prove in court that the kid deserved it, but we should still be able to do it because it's wrong. It's wrong to slap a child, but we should.
Like one of those little cards you get at the smoothie. Every time you slap a child, you have to, you know, like get the hole puncher and take off.
Or like Boy Scouts or Rangers where you get a cut and chop card. And then every time you slap a kid, you have to lose a corner. So, and then you have to go get renew your license, you know. Little cops checking you out. Oh, no, that kid didn't deserve to be slapped. He did, officer. He did. He was on the chair.
I gave him a verbal warning. I told him to stop it with his oh crap, but he wouldn't listen. He
wouldn't listen, man. Don't mess around with James. Hey, James, John, and Ethan, go Bearmageddon. It is going, and that's why he's not with us tonight. I've been listening to Nobody's Listening since about episode 183. I was I correct in hearing upon 189 that the 200th show will be your last? Absolutely. Absolutely. 200 is it, man. Maybe. I wanted to share a short, funny story, but of course explaining it may take a little bit. My dad was studying at a theological college, like a seminary, to be a pastor, and we'd visit different churches. One Sunday, when I was maybe 9 or 10, my bro was 7 or 8. I'm now 28, so memory gets fuzzy. We were at church. It was pretty boring. By the time it finished, we both needed to really stretch our legs and get some fresh air. So after going outside and being told by our mom, yeah, not mom, to stay close, we thought we'd swing on the railing of the stairs in the front of the church. That was just outside of the... All right. So this was after most people had left, so we were just hanging. However, not long into this, I started to lose my balance. And of course, as kids, you try to do everything without hands, like riding bikes, going to the toilet, etc. You mean you still don't do that? I've got it down to a science, man. So I was wobbling. Instead of falling backwards to my ultimate doom, I swung my arms out to my sides to try to steady myself. It worked. I was sitting nice and balanced on the edge. However, I looked to my left, and the reason for my sudden balance was obvious. My swinging arms had hit my brother, and it knocked him back instead. See, there's a scientific concept here about energy needing a place to go, and that force went and left him, and it entered his brother. So this is awesome. He was laying on the ground crying. He had swung backwards and hit the top of his head on the corner of bricks. That's what happens. That's what happens. So his head was bleeding profusely, and so I did what every good brother does. I ran away. I was so freaked out, aside from all the blood, I was also to blame. So isn't that awesome when you're a kid? You're just like, you know, I think my brother David talked about it one time, that when you hurt somebody, he had his legs around somebody's neck, like his brother's neck. And he's like, at some point, he realized, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for this. So should I go ahead and kill him? and then he won't tell on me, or do I let him live? But anyway, so I was so freaked out, aside from all the blood, I was to blame. I tried to hide in the car park, but it was so obvious that I was missing, that I'd done something. My parents were calling for me. I went back. They took him to the hospital. Some hours and plenty of stitches later, he was fine, and I think I was no longer freaked out. He later went on many more misadventures, splitting lips, breaking bones, splitting his head open, all without my help, but maybe I inspired him with this one. Thanks for bringing awesome, clean fun. My wife and I love listening in the car while driving to our parents. Hope you continue to 300 episodes. Cheers, Luke. So they only listen while they're driving to their parents. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Thoughts, Drew?
I'm not sure. I would have to say it's a bad thing.
K. Mike.
Oh, he's gone.
No way.
He just sent a message saying, "I'm going to have to bow out, guys. Family stuff."
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, K. Mike, let's pretend what he would say. Depends on if the parents, because this is the way he sounds. Depends on if the parents are good parents or bad parents. I don't know. I would like to imagine that they're terrible parents and they listen as a way to cheer themselves up. I don't know.
Maybe because of all the stories we talk about children getting hurt, that they're like refreshing their memory of their childhood.
Maybe so. I think it's like it just reminds me of like the Darth Vader theme song. Like you just know you're heading towards certain doom, and our show our show represents that for them. So let me just pull some stuff from the archives here. I haven't done that in a while. So we're going to go back all the way to, I got 123 pages of emails that I haven't read.
You're so popular.
Let's see. No, here we go.
Is 200 really it?
Maybe. What did I say? Hey, y'all, I haven't been around much thanks to my 10-hour job, but I was looking at the news and saw a wanted of a poster of a guy who looked exactly like James. That crizzle freaked me out. I almost called the police and gave him your number. Just kidding. Just wanted to say hi. Hope you guys are doing fine. Keep up the great work. Sheeta. So, wow, I haven't heard from her in a while.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if, like, if she gave you the, if she gave the police your podcast number, so they'd call the podcast and leave a voicemail.
Well, you think that's funny, but I actually had a couple of investigators show up at my door one time. And because I'd recently bought a car, a little blue CRV from a guy, and apparently I fell in a category of people that had bought little blue CRVs, because in my town, just months before, a guy in a blue CRV had shot and killed a couple people. And I tell you, man, you know, you watch people on TV and they get accused of stuff and they kind of like totally lose it, or they go the other extreme as an actor and they play it really cool. I lost it, man. I was just like, I felt like I had actually done it. I'm sorry about the car. I didn't do it. Yeah, I sold out. I sold out the guy that I bought it from immediately. Really? I just wanted him away from my house. I didn't kill anybody. I promise. I told him, I was like, Dave White sold me this car for $400. I hate it. And,
so, dude, $400, that's a steal.
Dude, it was awesome at the time. Yeah, as a college kid, it was the best car I ever had for $400. Hey, James.
It's even worth the cops coming to your doorstep.
Absolutely not. Hey, James, Trevor, and John. I was at the pool with my friend Jess yesterday, and we were doing a game where we went underwater, and we were guessing what each person was saying underwater. And we also met up with another one of our friends, Solomon, underwater. Just said Solomon sucks eggs, and we went back over the water and I shouted, Solomon sucks eggs. And then everyone looks over and now Solomon hates me. Hope you guys like my story and made you laugh. Sincerely, Lily. She says, I was wondering what the LBB stood for because I don't know that. Well, too bad, because this is from 2010 and you're probably old and got kids now. So I love that. I want to read it again. She went from 10 to 20, exactly, in 2 years.
Yeah, in 2 years.
It happens when you listen to the show, because you was underwater, and we were guessing what each person's saying underwater. And we also met up with another one of our friends underwater. So
it was just chilling underwater. Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, how long you been underwater? I've been underwater longer than you. I'm an underwater king. The king of the water.
Well, they'd be really good at the game if they're having conversations underwater.
Well, who needs underwater? We hang out with the kids from over the water where you can talk and don't have to guess what people are saying. What? So, I don't know. She mentioned over water. All right, here's a good one.
Water.
Hey, James, Trevor, and John. Saturday the 30th of January was my little sister Bethany's birthday, though she's 19 now, which I guess no longer qualifies her as a little sister. In honor of the girl who got me hooked on Nobody's Listening in the first place, I've decided to donate $5 to the show in her name and share this little tidbit from our past. Thank you for that from 2010. My family has get-togethers every 2 years, and when I was 13, the whole family met at the home of our cousin Jerry. Jerry had a pool table in the basement, which was where I, along with Bethany, our other sister, and a gaggle of other cousins were messing around with. Apparently, that's
the
name.
Is gaggle a word?
It is. It's a gaggle. A geese is a gaggle. So she's making a comment about our cousins.
Geese was like geese eye.
No, it's gaggle. It's a gaggle. Trust me. Anyway.
So plural is gaggle.
I didn't say that. Goose. Are you homeschooled? Plural. Anyway.
Goose is plural for geese. No, I'm public schooled. Even worse.
No, a group of geese, though, is a gaggle. Look it up.
I will.
Okay. Anyway, we hadn't been playing with the pool table for very long when we ran out of balls to use. How do you do that? They go down.
Must have been some pretty intense game.
It's a magic hole. I dumped the ball in it and it disappeared. I hear it moving down there, but it's gone away. I noticed along the side of the pool table that there was a hole, which, oh gosh. This is okay, exactly what I just said. What?
I went to gaggle.net and it was like safe student teacher texting.
Okay. That's scary. Anyway, I noticed along the side of the pool table that there was a hole, which was connected to the stash of extra balls. Being the oldest in the bunch, I instructed Bethany, the smallest, to put her arm up in the table and retrieve the balls. Okay, maybe this was a pay one that doesn't give you the balls back. But anyway, she managed to get her whole arm wedged up in the up to the elbow in the table, but discovered to her horror that she couldn't pull her arm out. She was stuck in such a way that she couldn't straighten out her arm in any direction to free her elbow. She started to cry, and I hightailed it out of the house to hide.
What's up with all these people bailing on their siblings?
It is the only way to survive the apocalypse of parents. The parent apocalypse is coming.
I wonder if he thought that he was going to get arrested.
Are you an only child, Drew?
No, I have like seven siblings.
Okay, so you understand this. What where do you fall in the age group? Are you middle child, youngest child?
I'm probably like dead middle.
Okay. So you're the peacemaker. That's why you don't know about running.
Oh god, no. I'm the havoc maker. I'm the one that they yell at.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm probably the one
that translates into later on. You'll be a peacemaker, and that's why you never run away because you're the one to take it. You're the peacemaker.
Because I'm usually the one with the hand stuck up in the pool table.
Good one. Okay. Anyway, she starts to cry. I hightail it out of the house to hide until someone either discovers what's happened or I can hop on a bus to Mexico, whichever came first. My mother eventually found me. I came to find out that Jerry needed to take the entire bottom of the pool table apart to free Bethany's arm. Poor thing. Needless to say, I was mortified.
Her arm off and got on with it.
Yeah, and Bethany didn't talk to me for a week. The rest of my family, however, found the whole incident hilarious. To this day, I got 5 minutes at a family reunion before someone mentions the pool table incident and a hearty laugh at my and poor Bethany's expense. Hope you enjoyed the story as much as I didn't enjoy it when it was happening. Thanks for the podcast. You guys keep me laughing on my commute to work, which in turn causes people to stare at me like I'm crazy. Keep up the great work. So, Ashley. At least
they're not giving you the bird like what normally happens on commutes. So,
yeah.
Just be lucky.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I just would imagine that if I was Uncle Joe at the family reunion and we were playing pool, I'd just be like, Bethany's arm, corner pocket. You know, it's like I'm calling it out. It's like cool as mess. All right, let's do a couple more. Middle school drama. Dear host person, Canadian dude, another guy. I live in small town Iowa. My brother is a guy that blew up the ball shed. This is a story of how I learned to shoot a BB gun.
Wait, wasn't that the story that you decided was a lie?
I don't know. I don't know yet. You guys know. Yeah.
What?
You guys usually know more about the show than I do, so you tell me.
I only listen 24/7.
So that's all.
I'm just kidding.
I found a BB gun on the ground right by some BBs or pellets at whatever, and said to my brother, hey, look at my gun. And then I shot the ground right in front of him and kind of forgot it. He's a jock, so he just ran towards me. So I tried to shoot him in the face, but I missed. Then I hit him in the eye.
The BB gun? Holy crap.
Yeah. He said I hit him in the eye and then blacked out for a while, and I found it out. I was at the hospital and he was in surgery and I knew I had to run. So I did. And I got in trouble. This is bull.
Wait, you're right. What I find hilarious is, okay, so he shot his, it was his brother, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he shot his brother in the eye. So the brother has like, probably like his eye, like swelling out of his face, but he still has enough time to knock out his little brother.
Yeah. It's total crud. Cause if you've ever seen anybody that actually has been shot in the eye by anything, it's pretty, pretty horrid. Actually, they have to wear eye patches and their eyes leak. And so it looks like they're crying all the time and their eye turns to like jello.
I'd be crying if I had to wear an eye patch all the time. So
yeah. Hey, Trevor and John, I just finished listening to the Valentine's episode back in 2010, and I wanted to comment on the Snuggie for Dogs, which had me cracking up the whole time because all I could think about was our dog. About a month or so ago, my mom actually bought one for my dog not long before he went for a haircut. because he's always cold for weeks after his haircut, so she bought him a Snuggie. The woman who cuts his hair was the one who told my mom about the Snuggies. Before that, we never even knew they existed. So I'm not sure where my mom got it, but I do know she didn't order it online. So yeah, she probably got it at the store. At a store somewhere, probably. That's what I'm thinking. Just, you know, like a store that sells dog snacks.
Probably traveled to Europe to get it.
Probably not online, probably local. Anyway, I was surprised that they had a Snuggie for dogs. We got that. But I also started laughing when I saw it. Seeing it on him was even funnier, as if the original Snuggie wasn't bad enough, they had to go and make one for dogs. The only problem is we found with it is it doesn't always stay on him. Here's how it works. You put the dog's front legs through the holes, and then each side Velcros over the back. So the main part of the Snuggie covers their stomach and Velcros over the top, their back. And he links to a video. It's the official website for Snuggies for dogs. Nicole. It's SnuggieForDogs.com, people. SnuggiesForDogs.com. I'm sorry, not plural. Snuggie for dogs. You're only supposed to buy one for each animal that you own, not Snuggies. They just need one.
The people that make the Snuggies are intelligent to realize that they can't make any for cats, because if you put a Snuggie on a cat, the cat will kill you in your sleep.
I don't know how. I mean, I don't know how you keep one on a dog. I'm sorry. Forgive me, people of the internet, but I don't love dogs enough to buy them clothes. Sorry.
Oh, we buy clothes for our dog Bella. We only have like two though, just because it's funny to see her walk around and try to take it off.
No, you don't. You don't. You say we do, but you don't. Your mama
does. It
was
a corporal investment. We had a meeting.
Yeah.
We sat down and
you guys dedicated part of your allowance to the one member in your house does this.
I don't have an allowance. So.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to help you out. One member of your family does this and the rest of you guys just put up with it. Trust me. I already know. I just know this. Who's the person in your family that dresses this poor dog? Say it.
Who dresses it or buys the...
Who buys it?
Okay.
It's your mom.
My mom bought it.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. All right, that's all.
And then my sister put it on.
Yeah, there you go. Get them ladies some Barbie dolls or something, okay? Or some Legos. God forbid they make a dog Snuggie out of Legos. This is from Dustin from back in 2011. I got a story for nobody's listening. Your stories of your daughter being scared of E.T., reminded me of when I was 5. Man, that was last year. I would sit in my grandmother's lap, and she'd drive. I remember reading this actually. She would chase my sister with an ET doll. The best. So grandma's in a scooter and in a motorized cart, chasing the little sister around with an ET doll. The best part is the hall in their house went back into a sunroom, which opened the living room. So she went back to the beginning of the hall, and she'd run laps around, screaming her 4-year-old head off, never realizing all she had to do was close the door and grandma would be stuck. Those things have a horn though. So love it. By the way, my grandma's laugh is much like your imitation of your mom. So when you do it, I'm reminded of that time too. Cause apparently grandma's just like, so there you go.
It's the first time you did that laugh without clipping. I'm pretty proud.
I had to pull the mic away. I'm learning. My mic technique while laughing is getting better and better. Nice. Okay, one more. Hey, this is from Keith Knoll from, January, March of 2011, about 35 years ago when I was 8 to 10 years old. My sister and I were going to take a bike ride to the local swimming pool with a bunch of the neighbor kids. One of my neighbors had just finished painting his bike bright yellow for very good reason, I'm sure. He and my sister,
so like right when they went to the pool, he just finished.
He just had finished, man. The paint was still wet.
He's riding his bike and there's paint like dripping off of it.
It was dripping yellow madness. Anyway, he and my sister decided to switch bikes for the ride there. Yeah, I know why now, because his bike was wet and sticky. So while we were on a somewhat busy road, it's a medium busy, my sister and I started to race. I was pulling ahead a little when I got close to her and my foot got caught in the spokes of the bike she was riding. That is terrible. That is the worst, because my sister did that one time and it almost chopped her foot off. Oh, and by the way, I wasn't wearing shoes. Needless to say, we both crashed. I remember that I was in the middle of the road with my foot still in the spokes, bleeding all over, and a car was coming right at us. So I thought for sure the car was just going to run over me. Instead, the driver stopped, removed my feet from the spokes, took me to the pool where the lifeguards patched me up and sent me home. My neighbor was not too happy with me since I bled all over his newly painted bike. Hey, that's cool, though. Get that, yeah, that cool like 80s.
Red and yellow.
That, yeah. That cool 80s splatter effect, you know? Blood does dry to an icky brown, though, so it probably was pretty grody. My neighbor was not too happy, but I thought it looked cool. He disagreed. Thanks for bringing the show back. Keith from Deer Park, Washington. Stalkers.
Nice.
All right. Well, I think that's it for today, folks. I think that's it. Let me check my notes and make sure we're not forgetting anything. Here we go. We got one more. I'll do this one. Yes. I'll do it. Hey, James, John, and Ethan. It's Dania, a.k.a. Blackout Girl, with a story that actually stars my friend, but I found it pretty funny myself. It happened on opening night of my high school musical's production of Fiddler on the Roof. My friend, for old time's sake, let's call.
I was so confused for a second.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they were performing High School Musical.
High School Musical. Yeah. High School Musical. My friend, for old time's sake, let's call her Lucy, played the part of Fruma Sarah, who is the deceased wife of Laser Wolf. Side note, whenever I hear the name Laser Wolf, I think of a wolf with laser vision. Because she was playing a ghost in the musical, Lucy had to wear a bloody costume and have very gnarly hair and coat on the white makeup all over her face. Although she was only in one scene, she had to have her whole entire costume on through the entire 2.5 hours of the show because it had to be on for bows at the end, okay? So she had to come and take her bow at the end. On opening night, after her scene, she went to get a drink of water from the water fountain in the hall. The show was going on, so I was supposed to be safe to leave the green room without anyone seeing her. But as soon as she was walking back, a little girl and her mom came out of the house and saw a glance of her in all her glorious makeup and costume pieces. The little girl stopped, stared at Lucy for a few seconds, and screamed, "Mom! She's real!" At which point, Lucy started to chuckle a bit, thinking the little girl must have been scared by her on stage, and the mom had reassured the mother of the little girl that the ghost she saw on stage wasn't real. Wouldn't you be scared a little bit seeing a scary ghost in real life? Thanks for the podcast. Keep them coming. Absolutely. I was just thinking the same thing. I know, as a parent, when my kid's like, "It's so scary." And that's the first thing you tell them is, "It's not real. It's not real, hon." And I can imagine. Well, I can imagine doing the same thing. My daughter's scared to death of Real Grinch. I mean, that's just her thing. She hates the Real Grinch, Jim Carrey. And it'd be like, I've told her a million times he's not real. And it would just be so awesome in a twisted, sick way if Jim Carrey showed up at the front door in full costume. "Hello, can I talk to Jenna?" You know, so.
Yeah. When my sister Benu first came from Africa, that's where she was adopted. She was like 4 at the time. Mm-hmm. Our church at the time was doing this like Christmas thingy where they did like this play, and it was about this like family and the grandma, like she was like a big part of their Christmas. And then one year she died.
Ooh.
And they watched a video. Like she was talking about, "Yeah, if you're watching this, I'm probably dead," and discussed like how Christmas shouldn't be about all this stuff or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And my sister was like wailing, thinking, "Oh no, she died. She was such a good person." So after the play, since our church wasn't really that big, well, relatively big, it's all compared to what you think. We were like, "Okay, well, why don't we show her the person that played the grandma so she can think, oh, okay, well she's not dead. She's right here in front of me." We spent like 15 minutes searching around. We couldn't find her. Pretty soon, we just like asked, "Hey, what happened to this person?" "Oh, they left." So my sister spent like
home.
The entire my sister spent the entire week thinking that she was dead until like next week we showed her it.
Yeah, we're sorry. She's already gone home. She lives with her dad, so I'd be like, "She's gone to be with her father." Yeah.
She's gone to a better place.
That would be awesome.
Cleveland. You not seen that commercial?
Uh-uh.
Sorry. There's like I think it was like Verizon or something. They were like talking about how, "Oh, now that they have all this place, now that we have all these minutes, we can call people from like wherever." And this one, and then the mom goes, "Oh, now I can call my mother." And the kid goes, "Oh, I thought you said grandma was in a better place." And the dad goes, "Yeah, Cleveland."
Oh, sorry. I watch Netflix. We don't have commercials.
Well, that commercial is like 2 years old, so.
I haven't had television for since before you were born. So
really?
Yeah, I'm old, dude. You gotta trust me on this. So anyway, thanks for being on the show, man. I appreciate it. It's time for us to get out of here, though. My pleasure. What, do you work at Chick-fil-A? Where chairs have noses and stuff? What the heck? Yep. All right, the website, podcast.nlcast.com. Email us your stories, comments, and feedback, james@nlcast.com. I want you to email me a love note for John Steinklobber. We miss him. He's being covered very, very well by a great selection of guest hosts, but we want John back. He's just been busy. He's been working, and he's an IT guy, and he's been moving like his entire company to a new building. So a lot of late nights and stuff like that. But he says hello.
He must be pretty strong if he can move that entire
He is very strong. The power of farts empowers him. Give us a call, 2095-NL-CAST, 2095-NL-CAST. Look us up on Facebook and Twitter. Just keywords NLCast for both of those. Join us for a live show Tuesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Leave an iTunes review if that's how you found us. And check out all of the NLCast Podcast Network shows at NLCast.com, especially Help I'm a Children's Pastor, Stuff I Wish I Could Say, and Podcast Kid. Thanks to our sponsors, Rob Gobers for our theme music, Spouses for letting us record, our contributors, and everyone who listens. And thank you, Drew Covert. Make sure you guys check out the West Side of Mars podcast at westsideofmars.com. And remember, if you don't tell your funny life story, then don't wonder why nobody's listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Nobody's listening.
Peace. It always comes out late. Trust me.
Well, I did it 2 seconds late on my end anyway, so I knew it was going to come out late.
Good deal.